All right, we're rolling. All right, so the first slide, you guys already know all this, I think. But, you know, it's a good way to start it off is that, you know, traditionally everything's been employer-focused. That's obviously changed quite a bit. But, you know, the changes aren't just because of the ACA, but as you guys know, it's really in the group market as well. So as you know, groups send their as employer groups send their employees off to private exchanges, employees need to start making decisions about you know, what health plans they choose and make some brand decisions. Of course, as they sign up for high deductible plans, they need to interact more with the health plan to understand the costs involved with all, with procedures and pre-certs and all that kind of stuff. And then because of this, you know, we are seeing a big rise in the customer experience program. So about 80% of the health plans that we spoke with do indeed have some kind of customer experience program. Yet at the same time, the technology that's been built has been keyed off of employer groups and has been built specifically for employer groups. So that's causing a lot of challenges. Excuse me. And I know I can say at Guardian, when I mentioned we had about 150 different systems that were just managing their group insurance. And so you have data that's siloed all over the place. And we find this at pretty much every health plan. And you don't have a consistent 360-degree view. So I'll often ask if one of your patients gets a call from your clinical team after going to an ER, and you go over the what happened at the ER, and then that member calls your call center the next day, does your call center actually know that they spoke, that the member spoke with the clinical team on a prior day? And generally, the answer has been no, because systems are just so siloed apart, so you don't get that true 360-degree view. But you really want to get this. You really want to be able to see from every department the same view of the member. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. And then sometimes the information's inaccurate because the data's been scattered in so many different places. The way we look at this at Zipari is we look at the customer experience profile as the center of everything. And this isn't a technical warehouse. It's not a project where we're just trying to load in every piece of data. And I think that's, we've seen those projects fail many times over. I know, again, at Guardian, you know, there's a huge Teradata data warehouse project that one CIO was doing. And by the time the next CIO came in, he cut the entire $10 million project before it even saw the day of life. So what we really focus on is understanding what are the pieces of information that you need every day to interact with your consumers so that you can have an interesting dialogue with them and so that you can provide the appropriate customer experience. You don't need a secondary fax number, but you do need certain information. And we'll talk about how we collect that today in a very easy way. We then layer on some analytics. So we have different analytics modules that we include, but we also connect into your existing systems if you already do some of this. One example would be member value. We look at member value as this green line here. This is really the value of the member as just simply premiums minus claims, which we know at the end of the year. But in the beginning of the year, we don't know what claims are going to come in, so we provide a Zillow-like estimate to understand what claims might be coming in so you can calculate the member's value. We then layer on top of this member sentiment, and this is really a big differentiator to what we believe is currently being done in the marketplace. And at member sentiment, what we're looking to do here is at every touch point between the consumer and the carrier, we want to understand how is this consumer feeling? How are they interacting with this with the carrier? And understand that. So whether they're selecting a PCP or filing a claim or completing an HRA or in a premium market, in an individual market, paying a bill, we want to understand that workflow. And we'll show you that later. Well, we might show you that later if we get to the demo. But that member sentiment is really meant to be a likelihood to renew. Right? So if you could start predicting individual and by individual and group by group, how likely are they to renew? And then you can associate their value. Then you can combine those two together to get lifetime value because you know their value now and you know you can interpolate how likely they are to stick around. So then the next trick comes down to how can you increase lifetime value. And there's, you know, three common ways you can improve member health, get more products into the hands of your members, or simply increase sentiment. You might have a 1,000 employee-employer group that is trending towards termination. You want to be able to predict that ahead of time, not be surprised, and be proactive and take advantage of that knowledge and see what you can do to increase that group sentiment back up. So this is probably the one slide that's the longest slide, but also the most important slide, I think, for today. And this is about how do you drive up the lifetime value using automated recommendations. And so I'm going to give a couple examples of how you could do that, but there's thousands of ways of observing the pain points in a customer journey, and then based on those pain points, taking action. So we'll look at three quick examples. We'll say if a high-value, low-sentiment member is denied a claim, then maybe create a case in your CRM, assign it to your CSRs, and have them reach out and say, you know, hi, I noticed you had a claim denied. Perhaps you have some questions. We're here to help. We want to help you avoid getting that claim denied next time. So you wouldn't spend the money on every member to do this, but on some members, it might make sense, and it'll increase their sentiment. In the individual and small group market, you could look at an example of an RX claim being received of type insulin, but no diagnoses on file for diabetes. And based on that, you might think they might be eligible for a risk adjustment. So you could assign a case to, say, a medical team to reach out to that member, see if they do indeed have some kind of chronic disease like diabetes, and then go through your standard chart chasing procedures to get them into the doctor's office, get the diagnosis onto the claim, and get the claim into the Edge server, and then get $5,000 to $10,000 federal reimbursement on a risk adjustment. Or you could take a simple example on the individual market, and you could say if somebody's looking for health insurance and they enter a salary over $80,000, they look at a silver plan and they abandon the cart, then re-engage with them through some kind of email campaign in this example. And of course, in a Medicare Advantage, you need to get a couple approvals before you do that kind of stuff. So the general concept here is that the red is a pain point. And we have very simple APIs. They're as simple as using Google Analytics. So they're very simple APIs that allow us to pull in these events and trigger these recommendations. And then you can take action by email or by text or by automated call or creating a case in a CRM or adding to an email campaign. And so the idea here, just to spend a couple extra minutes on this slide, is that each one of these recommendations has a financial value associated with it. So if you think about that, let's take an example of, say a person going to the ER room for a chronic pain like a back pain. And if they go to the ER, they might have a they might cost the payer $1,000, but if they go to urgent care, let's say that costs $200 for the payer. So there's an $800 delta between those two options, and if you can convince a member, you'll save $800. Or if you can convince 1,000 members, you save $800,000. So now the question is, you know, how effective are these different channels? So you could say, if you send an email to that member, they have a 1% chance of heeding that message, and so 1% of $800 is worth about $8. And you can say, if a customer service rep reaches out to the member, maybe they have a 10% chance. We'll see over time. We can measure that. And it's worth $80. And maybe for a concierge CSR rep that's in constant contact with these maybe complex cases, maybe it's a 20% chance and it's worth $160 for that recommendation. Now you take that recommendation and you put it next to a recommendation for two different cohorts for a flu shot. And how much is that worth? Or you take a tech-savvy member that has their claims coming in electronically, but they keep calling the call center with these questions that could be answered by the member portal. So maybe make a recommendation to them to log into member portal is worth, we could see over time, $400, right? So you take which of these recommendations, it could be a gap in care. Which of these recommendations have the most value for that specific member? And that's where you really need to go to drive up the member value or lifetime value member by member. So that's what is at the heart of our customer experience engine. And we do this using notifications. So these notifications will go out to your member portal. So on the top of your member portal, say, oh, by the way, I noticed you haven't taken your flu shot. They'll go out to your call center, and that call center that I mentioned out in California, at the end of their call, they'll say, oh, I noticed you haven't picked up your prescription. Can we connect you with the pharmacist? So these notifications will go out to your provider portal, so your provider portal knows what's going on. Your doctor knows what's going on as well. So the idea is that all these notifications go out one by one with the right message to the right member. And then when they heed them, they in the call center, they say, okay, this person completed the HRA with us at the call center, then that would turn off, it would get retracted from everywhere else. So no more email campaigns around it, no more member portal message, et cetera. At Zipari, just briefly on this slide, a couple of years ago, we were really focused on selling online shopping and provider search and these tools here. We've really expanded our product and brought these as services underneath everything we do. And the reason is because a provider search, if you go just focused on deploying one provider search, are you really deploying it for your call center at the same time? Or are you deploying it everywhere? So provider search is a tool that gets used all over the place. It gets used by members as they log in and they want to see the exact doctors that are in their plan. It gets used by the call center reps. It gets used by the general community without logging in to start learning about a plan. It gets used during shopping to see if your doctor's covered. So we bring these kind of services into the center of everything we do. At Zipari, this is sort of the heart of the technical part of the discussion, but really on the data integration, this is every plan says, well, you know, you got to work with our data integration team. This is going to take forever. So we've put a lot of focus on that. And as I mentioned, we had about 41 feeds for that plan that I mentioned, Alignment Health. And we have all the X12 feeds for eligibility, claims, accumulators. We have feeds for brokers, providers, formulary, all that kind of stuff pre-built. So you have the specifications. You have real-time APIs for each of them, and you have batch solutions. So now it's just a matter of getting the technical people together to get those wired up. And again, as we recommend, is if the technical folks know the language, it goes a lot faster. They can really solve a lot of this back and forth in much shorter order than we initially thought. But if you have to bring an analyst in to decode everything and explain everything back and forth, then you're going to probably need a PM too, and it just kind of spirals out of control. On the other side, we do work with third parties. These are just a couple representations of companies that we've worked with. But the general concept is that you want to ingest all your third-party data into the same customer experience engine. This is why Horizon and Capital Blue invested in Zipari, is because they want all the customer experience data in one place. So now think about it as your partner has a diabetes app, another vendor has a diabetes app, you want to bring that behavior of they've logged into it, they're at this point in their workflow, into your general repository of what you're going to see. And I don't think we're going to be able to show the view, but you'll bring all of that data in as well. So the concept here is that you want all of your consumer data, whether it be telemedicine or whatever partner you have, to be feeding your repository of CX data. And then briefly, on top of this engine, of course, we have products, and we're working with some of you on these products, but we group them into two groups. Our digital experience, which is really focuses on a number of different portals. So we have a marketing portal that is one of our newest products, I'll tell you that. That's going live on 1/1 with UCARE. And this is really a content management system that's built specifically for health insurance, so that we were hosting so many member portals and different parts of the health plan's website, and a couple plans have said, well, why don't you just host the homepage too and be done with it? So we've added that kind of capability and ability to upload all the documents that you need to be showing all your SBCs and all that, and different, you know, centers for, you know, brokers to view stuff and providers. Again, I didn't mention it before, so I should mention that when we deploy our solutions, we have a multi-tenant solution that serves all the APIs, all the services, but the look and feel we deploy separately. So each of our 10 health plans have a separate look and feel. So that means if you want your member portal to have your colors and brand, that's no problem at all. But if you want accumulators to be shown at the top, they can do that. If you want your information architecture, your header and footer to have a certain nav bar, we can do all that. So with this marketing portal, it's not about limiting what you do, but really about making it much easier to maintain all your documents and stuff. The member portal is one of our most important products. That's where we really focus on member engagement. So it's not sufficient to just look at member logins. And, you know, traditionally member logins are maybe in the, I don't know what it is at your health plan, but it's in the 20%. So you want to drive those member logins up. But then once they log in, they have to be engaged, right? If maybe they'll log in more if they actually can do stuff that's going to help them. And so we measure the engagement. And the way that we do that is based on the events of what they do. We call them events. So everything that they click, we call those events. So they're consumer behavior that we bring in and we use later to make decisions. So we see if somebody selects a PCP, they're engaged. If they complete their HRA, they're engaged. If they sign up for paperless settings, they're engaged. If they're just looking at a doctor, they're not engaged. So we look at what are the metrics that are going to determine engagement at your company for your members, and then we help to drive those up. Now, of course, inside the member portal, we have all the self-service services that you would expect that are typically the same as what you might have in a call center. You know, we're working to get that batch to be exactly equal, actually, over time, and it's all processed by the same engine underneath. So you have self-service that will drive down the cost of care, drive down admin cost and all that, and we track that. And so there's real ROI that's associated with this when you start tracking it all. And then, of course, you put the notifications at the top of the member portal to get the engagement, so these automated recommendations that you're continually going to get that next best action that you want to get your members to follow. On the employer portal, employer side, we do have an employer portal for employer groups and for their employees to log in, select benefits. Provider portal is, for some reason, a huge product for us this year, getting a tremendous amount of interest. I think, you know, a lot of this is because of the new fines that are coming down for inaccurate provider data and trying to figure out how to get providers more engaged. So our provider portal, you know, has the ability to allow the doctor or their team to update all the information about their facility and the hours that they work and how long it takes to get a new appointment and all that kind of stuff and their specialties and everything else, but also provides access to eligibility and claims and pre-authorizations and that kind of stuff as well. And then you have the broker portal. So we have 5 broker portal deployments going out this fall, so we're spending a lot of time on this right now. This supports now Medicare Advantage, individual, small group, and even large group with routing information over to the underwriting team. And, of course, it allows you the broker to manage your book of business and has hierarchical access to agencies and all that kind of stuff. On the bottom half of our product wheel, as we call it, we have our customer engagement management solution. And this is really what we built Zipari for. We felt that there is a huge hole and lacking of sophistication when it came to automating all the workflows at the payer, right? So much work is done manual, and there's no consistent view of the member. So this was really the focus of our product initially, is to have a service center that allows you to see a 360-degree view of the member. But then if they call in about a prescription, you can assign them to a pharmacist. Or if they're calling in about bad data about a provider, you can assign it to your network team. So you can route workflows around back and forth between different teams and track all of that. You can track all the different service actions that are done separate from the overall call, because a lot of call centers, they have a case associated with the call and it's a benefit inquiry, but you don't track all the other questions that were answered. And in fact, you don't even track benefit inquiry down to know if it's a deductible or a copay or coinsurance or chiropractic visits, whatever it may be. So we bring all of those metrics in there and then allow you to route that around to your clinical team and have your clinical team log in and to your network management team. We won't show this because we're not showing the demo, but you know, you could also see if a member is looking at a provider at real time. In our demos, which we can set up for you, you can see that real-time view of the provider viewing, or the member viewing the provider, or if a member views a drug, you can see that immediately in the 360-degree view. We show that every day, and you can take action based on that. You could assign something to a clinical team to take action based on that. So here in this example, you could also have a member that says, well, I found some bad data about this doctor. I just want to click this button, which I'm sure you can't read, but in the bottom right on a screen there, and it'll automatically create a workflow in your back office with your network management team so they can follow through, go through, and work with, you know, work to get that fixed, and then go back and mention that to the member. One of the first tools when we first launched was all around sales and marketing automation. In this case, you know, we're really just capturing the richest lead possible. So again, if at another time we show you the shopping demo, you can watch prospects go through the shopping process, and you can literally see that they're in enter demographic, they're in select plan, they're in checkout, they're starting to enroll. You can literally see that in the back office exactly where they are, and you can see where they drop off, and you can see every single piece of data that they've entered. You can see every plan that they viewed. You can see every plan that's put in their cart. So that's all part of that CX profile and the APIs I was talking about. In a CX profile, you have all the consumer data, eligibility claims. You have all the behavior. They clicked on this. They entered this. All of that comes in. And then you have the workflows. You can see exactly where they are. They're halfway through a renewal. They are started working on an HRA. They are in the middle of an appeal. They just selected a PCP. You have all that information in your CX profile that you can then activate and use to create these recommendations for your next best action. And then, lastly, briefly, I'll mention, in the Medicaid space, you know, when you're talking about social determinants, a lot of times, you're really focused. These members are not yet focused on getting healthy. They're focused on getting food on the table. So the same concept here applies, and we use the same tools, is that they might not be a member. They might be a member of the community, and maybe you're going door to door to learn more about them with some social workers. And you can bring that 360-degree view to know everything about that person, and then you can do workflows. But instead of selecting a PCP, you know, this workflow might be help them get after-school programs for their kids, help them find a shelter, help them with a food bank. So the same concepts, and as you build with them, help them get transportation, then eventually, you know, you can start to get them to focus on their health as well. So with that, I've kind of expanded it. Hopefully it wasn't too boring, but I expanded the dialogue a little bit there to go in more into detail. That's our payer customer experience platform, and happy to share more with you on it and share our ideas.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks again for being the pitch hitter who got bumped up way up in the batting order. Really very much appreciated. Okay. Thank you. So I asked Mark to jump us off this morning for two reasons. One is, you might have noticed there that we got to know Mark a little bit better as Gartner had identified them as one of their cool vendors of the year. So you're starting to see more of a focus on the technology side built around the customer service and customer experience. The second reason I asked Mark to speak with us was to give us examples, as he did, of what different help plans are doing to try to pull together all the myriad of information and the myriad of interactions that you have with your consumers. So let's just open up the dialogue in the discussion this morning. How many of you are, when I ask you to raise your hands, how many of you are taking a look at in your organizations? How are you approaching customer experience enterprise-wide? How you're pulling things together from the health system, the health plan, your medical groups, and the 360 experience that they're having in all of those settings. Anybody be willing to just jump off the conversation by taking I know most of us are just getting started in this space. We're saying, I don't have anything going on. I'm just trying to figure this out. That's okay. I'd be interested in hearing, what are some of the things that you're taking a look at? What are some of the steps that you're taking to pull together what Mark is talking about here in terms of a 360 experience with the consumer? At Geisinger.
Yeah. So
thanks, Chris.
For about 6 months, we've been looking at a complete CRM solution, I'll use quotes, both enterprise and health plan, which I think most folks can appreciate is incredibly daunting, and we haven't figured it out, and we're still looking at different vendors and such, but there's the usual issues where we have mailings so the health plan's name is Geisinger Health Plan, and the system is Geisinger, so when you get something as a patient member from Geisinger, you don't differentiate. And so you get a diabetes thing from Geisinger, and then you get another diabetes thing from Geisinger, and they're not always the same thing. And sure enough, one's from the health plan, one from the health system. So a lot of coordination issues that we deal with leading to confusion or frustration from our patient members. We don't even know what to call them. We just call them patient members. So trying to find an overall solution that's not just health plan focused, but under new leadership the last couple of years, we've really embraced the idea of one Geisinger and stopped trying to keep each other at arm's length. So what we're trying to avoid are solutions that are unique just to one side of the business versus another. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if others have looked at CRM systems or if Zipari's looked at, how do you incorporate the clinical side in with the health plan side? Because a lot of what you're discussing are conversations we're having, but we're trying to avoid just a health plan solution while we're looking at a CRM solution across the board.
Yeah. I think I still have a mic on. Good to know. I'll answer that quickly, and then I'll take this mic off so you don't follow me around all day. Just the provider side, the clinical side is something that we also believe is really critical. There's so many solutions out there that are just looking at the clinical team, the health care system, pardon me, and the members, and then there's other ones looking at health plan and members, and we're really focused on that space. But we believe that you're going to get the optimal solution is when you bring the providers, the payers, and the members together. So we've been doing a lot of work and research in that space, and really focus on looking at plans like Geisinger that are an integrated care system, like UPMC and Kaiser. So it's definitely. We're not talking, but the whole integrated care model is a perfect place to start because you have control over your EMR. So with some of our other solutions that were in discussions, it's a bit piecemeal because you have to work with Cerner and Epic and eClinical systems, and here we can get all the information. So we can share more on that. We bring the provider data, clinical information into the members' view in the member portal when they're looking at provider when we have it. So ultimately, we want the brand to be associated with the health plan and that all the doctor's information's in that member portal. So now I don't have to log into 10 different doctors' systems to help my aging parent. I can go to one system and then I can see everything holistically across. So we definitely believe in that vision. And so, thank you for mentioning.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn this off now, I think.
So I'm going to be curious as some of the rest of you kind of think about what you're doing in your organization. But and so, Chris, if I could have a follow-up question with you, because you mentioned the role of leadership and how that's structured. And we're going to talk about that more tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But specifically, when you mentioned breaking down the silos and trying to figure out how to integrate, what do you see Geisinger doing to try to break down those silos and those barriers? What is leadership able to do? What are you doing structurally to help that? Are you looking at it? Yeah. You bringing groups together to look at it? Some of the things you're doing in that space.
So to that point, Dennis, I think as opposed to just talking about it, there have been structural changes. So we have a chief population health officer who sits in the office next to me, but her team is responsible for all inpatient, outpatient throughout the clinical enterprise, not just the health plan. So they're managing the inpatient admission for Highmark and Capital Blue Cross and other payers as well. So clinically, there's people that are in both camps, if you will, mm-hmm. which is starting to break down some of the historical silos that we had as an organization. Purely from a branding perspective, we have moved to just Geisinger as the brand. And we look at ourselves now as Geisinger, the hospitals, the clinical, the research. We recently purchased a school of medicine and the health plan. So starting to get a more holistic view, I will tell you it's incredibly challenging. We just went through employee engagement scores. I just met with some of the employees in the marketing department, and they're frustrated that we're not getting credit for the stuff we're doing. Geisinger's taking credit. And that kind of blows my mind, but some of them have been there 15, 20 years. I've been there 5. I don't have that baggage, if you will, of wanting to create their own identity. So it's structural changes. Janet is just one example. There are others. There is everything we do. We now really try to make sure we're branding it as Geisinger. The health plan donated money to a local charity, and the check said Geisinger Health Plan. And I caught hell the next day from both the CEO of the health plan and the health system. Why didn't it just say Geisinger? And so part of it is just enforcing that over and over, that messaging over and over again, that we are Geisinger. Then the last thing is when we did the member journey mapping and we talked to our members and our patients, what we hear loud and clear from them is they can't tell the difference. They know we're different, but they just think of us as one. And when we actually have our own physicians saying, oh, the health plan's really hard to do business with, or we complain about the physicians, they feel like mom and dad are fighting, and they really don't like that. It reflects in a poor experience for them. Mm-hmm. So, we're just trying to emphasize it as much as we can.
Yeah. As was said at the beginning, comment in the back of the room, as was said at the beginning, we're uniquely positioned to do this. But the challenge of doing it is huge, and I think we gloss over that. Yeah, John.
Yeah, I'll get up. I'm John Burrich, formerly with Passport, most recently with DST. I was in Louisville, Kentucky. I moved to Charleston, South Carolina a couple months ago, and you guys are all good buddies of mine. I was greeted by Irma recently, so I didn't like that too much. And I caught more fish than ever because they all washed up in my backyard. So it was great. Anyways, glad to be here. But I sort of sum up this conversation because, I'm a big believer in the consumer relationship management in healthcare, and I think that's really pivotal for plans today. I was working with a doctor in Louisville before I left, Dr. Emberger, and he's helped him set up a Healthy Heart Foundation in a tough neighborhood in Louisville. And we were talking about, providers willing to take risk and really get in the game with that, that model. He said, no, not with the current system you have. And I said, what do you need from a plan? He said, what I need from a plan is the things we don't do well, and that's managing the member, consumer relationship management. That's what he wanted. So until you guys step up and deliver those services to truly engage the member, I'm not going to do any of these exotic payment plans. I have no interest in that. But if you do, so I think this is one of those moments for a plan to really make one of those sentinel moments for a plan to really make a decision, what's your new role in life? And I think this is, personally, I think this is really important because, we were a provider-owned plan. We were, for the most part, piling on. We were duplicating things, right? Providers do a great job of managing the clinical management, utilization. We were doing the same thing. it didn't make any sense. So I think it's those conversations with the provider side and say, here's all, you know, remember we were in Chicago and Deloitte did a great slide and they sort of dissected all the roles and responsibilities of a plan and a provider. And in the middle, they had that gray matter. And I think this is in that gray matter. We need to figure this piece out. And I think this is a great opportunity for plans to sort of reinvent themselves into a real value add participant in this. So my humble opinion.
Thanks, John. Yeah, Jody.
Oh, here you go, Jody.
Oh, sorry, more comfortable with that. Sorry. Hi, Jody Gross from Health New England, Massachusetts. And I sit back and I think about different levels of integration and interoperability. When I see Zipari and what they're presenting, I think of the challenges at our health plan, with a call center and a clinical area and a sales area and just this notion of a platform, a foundation for everyone to interact with the member or customer in one system. And then what's interesting, what Dennis is bringing up, which is a current challenge of ours, we're a health plan now that has a Medicaid population, 40,000 lives, where we're at risk with a provider, ACO, and necessity is the mother of invention. The state is essentially paying the freight, putting us at risk, and is requiring care need screenings, comprehensive care plans, and a host of things that actually requires the plan to work with the provider to work on a common platform, to store all these things, report all these things, and we can't find a solution, right? We're looking for, here we are, the health plan, working with the health centers. They're on, and it's some of them are our parent, but then I have other federally qualified health centers. So our parent's on Cerner, someone else is on Epic, and here I am, I have a care management team that has a different system, and I'm thinking about how do I have one common platform for clinical interoperability? And then we have community partners we have to bring in, behavioral health, long-term support services. So I guess I put that out there to the group that if anyone knows of solutions on a clinical interoperability with the community, I'd appreciate any insights folks have.
Anybody have a comment? Mary Ann? We'll do Mary Ann and then Brian.
Well, I don't have a solution. So if you have a solution, feel
Mary,
free.
You've got a solution to that.
I'm just going to bring up another problem. So
I was in Kansas, of all places. So they're medical society is a malpractice. They have their own malpractice company, but they also are the HIE that they set up in Kansas, which now they're offering. And they supposedly have built a HIE that can read like 50 different electronic medical record versions to give the information to the doctors on all their patients. And in the HIE in Kansas supposedly has all of the hospitals, all of the clinics, all the doctors, most of the doctors, the labs, x-ray, all the pharmacy data. So it's real-time information going back to the providers. And Blue Cross of Kansas pays the providers more if they join the HIE because they have this access to this real-time data. So there are people doing this, building out these, they could do these HIEs for a plan or for a ACO as well, but then, and they're setting this up in other states. There are people doing this kind of thing. This company's called CAMCO.
So question I have, and maybe Mark from Zipari can answer this, but I bet we're not the only ones that have this problem in the room, that we, about 4 years ago, invested major, major, major money into a bunch of platforms, right? So maybe it was 5 years ago. I don't know, maybe six. We brought on Facets, and at the same time, we brought on Pega, which I think is similar to this. At least that's what the salespeople said. And we brought on Cognos and we brought on Aika all at the same time. It was a disaster. But Pega would be our solution here. And I don't think, my guess is we have barely brushed the surface of what Pega can do. The health system, I'm not sure what they use for their call center. I'm not sure what technology, but of course they're on Epic. So you have all, my point is you have these major systems that you put a huge amount of money in, and so no plan or system is going to take it lightly when you come along and say, oh, let's change. Let's go to something like this as opposed to this other one because we think this one's better. So what do you do, or are there vendors out there that will latch on to what you already have or work with what you currently have or help you augment the investment you've already made as opposed, if I go back and say, let's ditch Pega and bring, and I'm just using this as an example, and bring in this cool Zipari tool, I'm likely to be looking for another job. So what do you have to say for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I failed to mention is that these 10 different pieces on that, or pieces of the pie on that wheel, they all can be deployed separately. And also, like, if you have a provider search that you're comfortable with and it works well, we can very easily connect up the capability so that you can see when your member views that doctor, even though you're not using our platform, or our provider search. So this is a very common issue that we hear every day, is that there's been huge investment in these systems, and once they're in, they're kind of sticking around for a while. I think, you know, the best way to look at that is how can you peel off the highest value ROI components that you need to add. Now, our CRM solution, which is the red part of the circle on the diagram, is on Salesforce, but it's built to be on Pega or on Dynamics as well, because all the intelligence is happening on our diagram on the purple area, so which is not Salesforce nor is the yellow area. So you can start to bring workflows on top of Pega that are industry specific. I think the general problem that we hear, and it sounds like you've already made the investment, the big problem is that health plans have come to the conclusion, and maybe it's partly because of the ACA or whatever it may be, that they should make an investment in their digital strategy to improve their member portal so that they can, you know, build more, you know, brand and NPS and all that kind of stuff. But there's always been this challenge, and we see it every day, is that the call center is where so much work happens, and there's so much money that could be saved to be more efficient, but at the same time, much better customer experience that you could offer instead of having 20 screens, have everything available, your answer to calls quicker, you have automated workflows that are stepping you through, so you reduce training time. Yet we find over and over that it's difficult for COOs to get this past the budget for some reason and get that into the business case. So every year they build a business case, and then a company like a Salesforce comes in with a partner like a Deloitte and says it's going to be $20 million and it's going to take you 4 years to go down that journey with us. And you're like, all right, we'll continue to just throw everything into facets or wherever we're throwing in our homegrown. So I think that's the problem that we're seeing, is that there needs to be a game changer in that space that allows you to get ROI back and be able to deploy, you know, at a fraction of the cost, and to be able to do this at a fraction of the time. And I think that's what we're banking on, and that's what we believe the tipping point is, and that's why we're helping to look at ROI on these back-end systems. But you're absolutely right. When you have a base of all this installed IT, it's not going anywhere, and you need to be flexible, and you need to be able to augment that and just move that in the right direction. So hopefully that's helpful.
Cool. Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple things. It may be pertinent to you, may not. In talking recently with the Aetna, they spend a lot of time on what the future customer experience is going to be like in healthcare. And one of the things that they came up with, and they're going to be rolling it out next year, is they're going to try to simplify the entire experience, because you got all these subsystems and all this noise of PBMs linking with the medical piece and EOBs and bills from providers. And they're just trying to move it all towards a retail-like experience. So they announced a partnership with Chase Bank. They think the number one issue facing Americans is simplification in healthcare. Access to care, they want to improve as far as making it much easier to get in when people need to get in with the provider systems. And then financing the consumer receivable, the patient portion of the bill. They think that's a huge issue for them. So they don't want to get into the fronting of the consumer portion. But they say, here we are paying an insurance policy what the plan pays. But meanwhile, our consumer's getting bills from 9 different providers over a knee surgery. And it's a real problem. And if we can take that pain away, so rather than, again, Aetna spending capital on the consumer portion, your delivery systems really are credit resources as far as getting paid. So they're going to use Chase Bank as their business partner to say, just go get your health care. You can finance all care with a credit card, Chase healthcare card. They'll probably do reward points, everything else, everybody, airlines, everybody else got on that side of the business. So they just want to basically have that tool available for their members. The other thing I would ask you to watch is your provider sponsors, probably the number one thing in their boardroom is revenue cycle management. Every CFO of a healthcare system is worried about where's the money going to come from. And you're one of those sources, but there's a plethora of other sources. So RCM is a huge topic in boardrooms. And I would keep on your radar that Optum just purchased the advisory board. The advisory board's number one software tool inside your owner spaces is revenue cycle management. And Optum had a whole arm of doing that. I think they did the old Catholic Healthcare West, or what's it called now, Gary, the old Dignity. Dignity's already outsourced their entire RCM to Optum. Now with the advisory board, it was in the same, those two companies actually use the same software to generate their RCM business. And, you know, every major healthcare system has a membership with the advisory board. They're going to be coming to your owners in full force with Optum's name on it to say, we have the best RCM software because we understand how to interact with the consumer. So those are two kind of mega forces out there that I think are going to be dropped into your markets or on top of your provider sponsors. But, you know, I would, and I have United Healthcare as a member, and I can tell you I don't like the experience at all because everybody's calling me. Many of you know I just had some surgery, and I am getting Optum and United population health medical management people calling me from the plan side. And they're actually driving me nuts. It's like I went to the Mayo Clinic. I have the best doctors in the world. I have a patient portal. What I like about Mayo is I can email them any question about my health care, and I get a response in an hour. No charge. No encounter. No bill. Whether it's a medication question or I don't have to worry about access anymore with the Mayo. Real time. I get my lab results an hour later on my portal. Everything's integrated. Great customer experience, but yet I have my plan, my health plan, interjecting into my care, and it really doesn't feel good at all. So be careful, I would say, on the plan side of how much you impact the clinical side, unless your clinical side is terrible, which most cases it's not. So I even have Optum trying to get my drugs changed, and I know why. They make more money on their PBM side if they move my blood thinner to XYZ versus ABC, they don't even know on the plan side that my doctors are really working with me diligently to get me off all meds. They just want it on their PBM. So again, the plan provider role, you're different because you're integrated. It should be a better feel to begin with. But I would just caution you, don't replicate what the clinical side should do on the customer experience side. I would just focus on simplicity, access, financing, and make it feel better. Hope that helps.
Exactly, Paul. I've always thought over the last year or so with many of you, conversations with many of you, kind of wrestled what does it mean to be in a retail market space and what does it mean to engage with the consumer. And the best definition I'm still working under is how easy am I to do business with? when it comes from that direction. Yep, absolutely. Other comments?
Dennis, when you had brought up about the drugs and PBM, one of our health systems, Health First, they brought up at one of our board meetings about we do all this purchasing on drugs on the delivery side, we do all this purchasing over here on the PBM side. What if we just combined all of that, did purchasing with one vendor that could pull all that together and then drop the cost of overall drugs? And for any of you that worked with drug companies, you know that they totally separate their provider sales with their PBM and their health plan sales. But as they started to pursue this and look at it, I think it was CVS that said, yeah, we might be able to do this. We work with Premier, would have to get their permission, but that ability to, as a delivery system with a health plan, to pull your drug purchasing power together, all it takes is one who can pull that off, and then, you know, that's going to create a change in the industry about how drugs are purchased as well. And then what it could do is create some similarity and formulary across those.
Other comments or contributions? Again, as folks were speaking, I saw a lot of heads nodding, so there was a lot of recognition of what was being said, and I know it resonated with you. So any other comments that you want to share on what you might be working on or experiencing in your organization? Most of us feel like we're like at the ground floor, if not still down in the basement and starting to get started on some of these things. But any other comments?
I have a question for the group. One of the things that we get from different companies coming to us is this wanting to combine data that comes from the claim system on the plan side and the EMR system on the delivery side, whether it's specialty pharmacy analytics or it's how you do bundled payment or other types of things. When those types of requests come in, do you have a means to evaluate how that data can come together from different siloed parts of your organization, and how would that process work to try to pull that together? Are any of you doing that effectively? Okay. Well, explain how you're doing it, and then what's the challenge for? Because I've had like three companies come to me in the last couple of months saying if we could combine this together, then we would have, you know, we would have a view that we can't get anywhere else. They can't get it from the large insurers because they don't have access to the EMR data, and they can't. And the EMR data alone doesn't give you the claims piece. So.
Well, I think the first part of it that's so foundational is just the data transfer usage agreements that, you know, the stuff is still protected. And then where's, you know, as a recovering lawyer, I can tell you that we get involved in these things, and that just even setting the foundation of how you'll do it and how to make sure that it's safe. And, you know, that's been actually one of our bigger challenges. So we have two owners, and we are in the process right now of setting that up because we want bi-directional data. They're going a clinical integration network with some of the independent physicians that support their hospital systems, and they want a collective amount of data for themselves to be able to monitor quality and efficiency. We need that same information. So right now, we're at the ground level in terms of what do those contracts look like, how we'll exchange it, how often. And to be honest with you, we're just focusing on what's good and not perfect, because it is not good. It's not easy just getting past that. So that's where we are in that particular journey.
At Community Health Plan of Washington, we have integration of clinical data from the community health centers. There are 19 of them throughout Washington, and like 120 or 130 clinics. Their data gets integrated with Community Health Plan of Washington's data through the use of Arcadia. And it's it helps us. It only helps the community health centers who actually participate and use the data, but they were very heavily incentivized to allow implementation. Then we call it adoption if they actually use the data. So the adoption process is slower. We think it would actually help them if they would use it, but we're only one of their payers. They have multiple health plans they participate with. So they want to use it for everybody. They see their patients as their patients, not patients of one health plan or another. So they want to be able to use it for everybody. So, but it does help with it does help us get the latest information from the clinical side.
And Community Health Plan of Washington, Brian, next, and Arcadia, they've given a couple, several case studies several times, so that's available in our Knowledge Center. Go back and take a look at it. Good job. Brian?
I was just saying we're working a lot more with provider groups now, and I think in California you see pretty commonly now that the IPAs are getting Knox-Keene licenses so they can take risk on the hospital side. But, I mean, when you talk to them about data, they want to be also have the claims data and on top of the clinical data, and then they also do the medical management, so the case management and all that. So you're combining all three, and so that, in their minds, that's the information they need to take risk and to manage care, so like what John talked about in the back. So that's, I think that's what the goal is to have all three sources of data and use that effectively to manage your business.